we started a series, and I'm gonna do my best to not, you know, act too silly, because I get silly when I see new people. You know, you ever seen a kid? They see new people, they just gotta let everybody know. We started a series on prayer. We started a series on prayer last week, and we're gonna pick up. We said our lesson last week was titled "Men Ought to Always Pray," and so we're going to pick up right there. Our series is called "Building a House of Prayer." Building a House of Prayer—that's what we decided to call the series. And today's lesson is titled "Prayer That Releases the Ability of God." Prayer that releases the ability of God. One of the things I want you to understand is that. And the whole purpose of this series is for you to understand that the whole point of you developing an effectual prayer life is for you to be able to access the ability of God. The whole point of us being able to talk to God and commune with God is so that our relationship with God gets better, it gets deeper, it gets stronger. Every woman in here knows that communication is the root of a strong relationship. And so she marries a man who uses three words a day, and she's totally frustrated because by the time he's had his coffee, he's used all his words for today. And so, you know, but she understands that if we're going to have a deep and meaningful relationship, if we're going to have the kind of relationship where I know what you're thinking, we're going to have the kind of relationship where I can tell by your expression what's going on with you, then there's going to have to be some communication. There's going to have to be some deep conversation where we talk not just mouth to ear, but we're talking heart to heart. Are you hearing me? And so prayer is our ability to talk heart to heart with God, where God, now listen to this, because a lot of people think prayer is about how much you say. All right, let me give you a key. This is the key to really having a strong prayer life. Prayer is about how well you listen. Are you hearing me? And so what you learn is you learn how to listen to God, and then the next thing I want you to learn is how to release the ability of God. Now let me tell y'all something. I'm a fairly, I tell people all the time, I probably only have one or two real gifts. Everything else you see is just hard work. It's just a guy that just figures it out, okay? You know, but I know some people, like my son. My son is an extremely gifted guy. He's an extremely gifted guy. I got a brother. My brother, extremely gifted guy. Anything this cat decides to do, he just can do it. He's just gifted. All right? But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. You still need the ability of God. You still need to be able to do something that's outside of your normal frame of reference. Is it hot in here to anybody but me? Okay, because I got, you know. That works. This is 2020. We got air conditioning. Sitting here sweating. Yeah. Yeah. No, see, y'all don't understand. See, I'm sitting here looking at her. And I'm sitting here thinking about the first time she came to the church, and I got ready. This is the first time this ever happened to me in my years of ministry. The Lord gave me a word for her. I got ready to prophesy to her. I looked at her. I said, "The Lord," she said, "don't start with me." I'm sitting here. And I'm like, "Will you go sit over there somewhere?" But anyway, so we're talking about the ability of God. Next. All right, so our principal scripture for the series is Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times, they ought to pray and not lose heart. One translation says, and not faint, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, watch this. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And so the issue is not whether, I was thinking about this morning, the issue is always not whether or not God can, it's whether or not he wills. What is his will? Because if I ask him anything and it's not in accordance with his will, then guess what? He's not obligated to answer. He's not. See, we've got to get rid of this idea that has crept into modern Christianity that God is somehow the Make-A-Wish Foundation. That he's a genie in a bottle. All we got to do is rub it, get our three wishes. No. No. We have to understand. I was talking with my God brother this week, and we were talking about the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. What it means for God to be sovereign. What it literally means is God is not obligated to do anything for any of us. Everything he does for us, he does out of the kindness of his heart. He does because he's good. And so we have to understand that, because it is in understanding that we understand that how we can have faith while we're waiting for him to do what we're expecting him to do when we're asking according to his will. All right, so today's lesson, a review. We told you last week that we learn to pray by praying. We learn to pray by praying. I get people to, I don't know how to pray. What you just told me is I never pray. Because the more you pray, the better you get at praying. It really is that simple. It's like the more when I first met Carol, you know, that was back in my days when I was still trying to perfect my Mac Daddy status, and you know, I thought I had some real game. I did. I thought I had more games than Parker Brothers and Hillsboroughs put together. I thought I was the man, and so I went to try to talk to her. And she let me know in no uncertain terms, I ain't thinking about you. He literally told my friend, I can't stand him. She said, he think he's so special. And I did, because I am. But here's the thing. I had to learn how to talk to her. And I learned how to talk to her by talking to her. You learn how to pray by praying. There's no other way. All right? Next, we told you prayer must be our first priority. It must be our first priority. We must understand that, you know, I was listening to a video this week, and it was a congresswoman, and there was a minister there testifying before Congress. And this minister was a lady minister and her husband, and she was talking about her life, how they had grown up in poverty, they had grown up in the hood, and you know, everybody was using drugs and getting pregnant. And she said, I just made up my mind that wasn't going to be my life, and so I really put myself into my academics. And she went on to say that, but she did end up getting pregnant at 17 years old. And she said, but I persevered. This is what she said. She said, I persevered. She said, now we have this ministry. And she said, we demonstrate our love for people. And she's talking about all the things they do to show people they love them. Well, this particular congresswoman, she goes, love is not enough. Prayer is not enough. People have real needs, and their real needs need to be met. And so saying that we love them and saying that we're praying for them, that's just not enough. And I couldn't help but think, well, because I happen to know what this person's religious leanings are. And so I said, well, that may be true with your God, that prayer isn't enough. But with the God I serve, everything starts with prayer. There has not been, listen to me, y'all. There has not been a mess I've got myself into that prayer didn't fix. Are y'all hearing me? And I've got myself in some pretty big ones. All right? I'm telling you, because God hears and answers prayer. Next, prayer helps us to conform to and understand his will. And then finally, we told you God is glorified when he answers our prayers. God is glorified when he answers our prayers. All right, so turning our attention to today's lesson, prayer that releases the ability of God. Our principal scripture for today's lesson is Luke 10, 19 and 20. This is a powerful, powerful text. I'll give you the background of it here in a minute. It says, behold, I have given you, what's that word? Behold, I have given you, one translation says power. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So what power does the enemy have over you? Okay. He says over power and nothing will what? Injure you. Next. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. So now, Jesus is making it clear, hey, I've empowered you. I've given you authority. Now to give you the background, in Luke chapter 9, Jesus is sending out the 12, and he gives them instruction. He says, go where you go, and don't take a money bag with you, and don't take a coat with you. And he tells them all this stuff. And then he tells them, he says, if you go to a city and they receive you, leave your peace there. He said, but if they don't receive you, wipe the dust from your feet and move on. You know what I mean? But then he gets to Luke 10, and he's talking to, the Bible calls them 70 others of his disciples. So they're disciples as well. They're just a different group of disciples. And he starts telling them the instructions are almost the same as the 12. And the 70 go out, and the 70 go. And they, now I'm telling you, the key to supernatural power is you understanding who's giving you the instructions. Because Jesus said to them, go and do this. Now, y'all got to understand something. I'm going to ask a question. This is going to be an easy one. It's pop quiz, I understand. Did these 70 people have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them? No, they didn't have no Holy Spirit. Yet they went out, and the Bible says they were demonstrating power over devils. They were casting out devils. They were doing all this stuff. And they came back telling Jesus, oh, my Lord, you are not going to believe what happened. Even the demons are subject to us. We went to this one city, and we laid hands on this guy, and the devil had to leave. And we went to another city, and we just told the devil to leave, and he had to leave. They're excited because they've got this power that they didn't realize they had. And Jesus addresses it, and he said, the reason you're able to do that is because I have given you the authority. He said, now he uses language that they would understand. Jesus talks the way you listen. In other words, Jesus is not going to talk to you in French unless you speak French. Do you speak French? A little bit of French? Okay, well, he's going to talk to you a little bit in French then. How's that? but he's not going to talk to you. He's going to talk to you in your language. So when he says, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, you have to understand that these people, not only were they dealing with serpents on a daily basis, but serpents were also associated with the false religions of the day. So what he was literally telling them is, I've given you power not only over those snakes you see in the ground, but I'm giving you power over those other religions. I've given you power over everything. And he's letting them know that nothing can hurt them. Now, this is good talk, because this is encouraging. This is phenomenal that little old me, I have authority over serpents and scorpions. And sometimes what we do is when we read the Bible, we don't understand. Yes, Jesus was talking to them, but he's talking to me. See, they were just privileged to be there. Thank God Luke recorded the conversation and sent it to me. So I'm going to show you that you there are certain prayers that you must learn to pray so that you can release the ability of God in the supernatural. Now let me help you. Let me help you, because here's what people do. I teach this stuff, and then they go out here and they pray for their first sick person. It's the first time they're praying for somebody sick. Person got a headache. They're dealing with a headache devil. And they pray for them, and the headache don't go away. I tried praying for people to get healed, and they didn't get healed. Let me tell y'all something. Let me tell you something. You go. The assistant preacher this morning. You got to learn to persevere. Thank you, Reverend Dr. Barb. That was free. She just threw that one in. But she's right. She's right. I can't tell you. I lost count of how many people I prayed for before somebody got healed. I lost count. I got to the point where I was like, somebody, can you pray for my healing? I guess. I had no confidence at all. Last person I prayed for died. You sure you want me? But let me tell you something. If you can persevere, if you can remember what Jesus said and understand that, yes, it applies to you. And it because, see, here's the thing. If I take credit for those who get healed, then I have to take responsibility for those who don't. So I don't take credit for those who get healed. Therefore, the ones who is all up to God. Listen. These lights in this ceiling work on something called electricity. Okay? If there's no electricity, the bulbs could be there, but they won't do anything. They have to have electricity. Now, the way electricity gets to the bulbs is they have these wires that they run from a breaker so that that breaker switches on, and then when you switch the light switch on, it releases the electricity so the electricity can get to the bulb and the bulb can come on. But for safety reasons, they put the wires inside something called conduit. Conduit. Conduit has absolutely nothing to do with the lights coming on. It has The conduit has absolutely nothing to do with the lights coming on. What the conduit does is it houses the source that carries the power that powers the lights. So what I'm trying to get you to see is, in order for you to operate in supernatural power, the first thing you have to understand, I'm just conduit. It's what's in me. It's what's in me and working through me that's going to do all the heavy lifting. Okay, now that you got that, we can get on. Now, point number one, first prayers. You must learn to pray prayers of adoration. Prayers of adoration. And you must learn to do this mostly in your private prayer time. I think I got a couple of definitions for adoration. Adoration, it means deep love and respect, worship, or veneration. That's from Webster. I decided I better put the sources up. Last week I gave y'all the definition for a word, and one of our members, being a good Berean, she went and checked up on me, and she said, that ain't what that word means. And I said, where'd you look it up at? And she told me, I said, well, that's why you didn't get the right definition, because this is where I got it from, you know. So I said, let me start telling them where I get these definitions from. Then it says it means to give homage or worship to someone or something. That's from BibleStudyTools.com. That's how you can become a Bible scholar. You learn how to use the internet. Using the internet. All right. So adoration is about us telling God and using the expansiveness of our vocabulary to tell him just how wonderful he is. Now, there are times when I'm in my time of prayer of adoration and all I can say is, you're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Because I've run out of words to tell him how good he is. And so prayers of adoration sometimes get very repetitive. They get very, but you have to understand, to you, to the person praying the prayer, this has to be from the depths of your heart. Are you hearing me? Let's look to the scripture. Watch this. Psalm 116:1. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. What is supplication? What is supplications? Huh? Another definition, a layman's definition. I think I might have it in here somewhere, but I'll give it to you early. A layman's definition of supplication, it's asking God to do what only God can do. Asking God to do what only God do. In other words, now listen. I did have it in there. Thank you. Here's the thing. You have to understand, Don used a good word. He said it's a pleading. It's a pleading. But listen, it's not pleading like I'm begging. Because God doesn't require me to beg him anything. But it's pleading as in, I know that if you don't do this, it won't get done. And so, God, I need you to move right now. So the Bible tells us that he hears our supplication. He hears it. So if I'm going to spend time with him in adoration and supplication, then I'm going to show you how that time is well time invested. I'm going to show you that in a minute. Watch this. Next scripture. Psalm 26:8. I got a lot of scripture, so I got to speed up. Oh, Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. So guess what, Lord? I love being in your presence. There is nothing more precious to me than being in your presence. Now, let me ask y'all something. This is the psalmist. So this is Old Testament, New Testament, Bible scholars. Old Testament. Okay. So now let me ask you the pivotal question. Where is the place where his glory dwells? Huh? In me. His glory dwells in me. His glory dwells in you. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, I love the place where your glory dwells. That means wherever I am, the glory of God is there. So I can turn any place that I am in into a place of worship, into a place of prayer. All right? Okay, next. Prayers of thanksgiving and gratitude. Question. Is it possible? I gotta ask it this way. Is it possible? Let me categorize the question before I ask the question. If God didn't do one more thing for you, if God decided, I ain't doing nothing else for them, okay? Each one of you are them in this conversation. So I don't have to say everybody's name. I have to do roll call. If God said, I'm not doing nothing else, let me ask you this. Could you ever thank him enough for what he's already done? It's amazing to me that we have to constantly tell believers to pray prayers of thanksgiving and gratitude. It's amazing to me that we have to tell people who have, the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. Well, if I've already tasted and seen that the Lord is good, why do I have to have somebody tell me to tell him thank you? See, this is a sign of immaturity. This is a sign of immaturity. See, when my kids were little, my daughter sitting here, when she was little, she was 4 or 5 years old, you know, somebody hand her something, give her something, and so her mama say thank you. What you supposed to say? Thank you. She had to be reminded. Thank you. Now, huh? I'm trying to see. Did you hear me say I ain't never been in a church like this? I ain't never been in a church like this. Never. No, never. I'm 55 years old. I ain't never been in church like this one in my life. Folks just yell out at the pastor, no, he didn't. Get it together. Lord, have mercy. They're just gonna make you preach what they want you to preach. That ain't what happened. So anyway, as I was saying before I got heckled. So it's a sign of immaturity that you have to tell a child, say thank you. It's a sign of spiritual immaturity that somebody has to tell you to tell God thank you. Are you hearing me? Because what you have to understand is that I can never thank him enough. Listen, I can't get tired of saying it because he don't get tired of hearing it. And when I was a teenager, we had a choir director named Keith Pringle, and Keith wrote a song called Can't Stop Praising His Name. And that's what the song, can't stop praising his name, I just can't stop praising his name, I just can't stop praising his name, Jesus. And so the song was all about, I can't give him enough. I can't give him enough. So now everybody that can do this, do it with me. Go like this. Now, how do you thank God for that? No, really, I'm being serious. How do you thank God for that? How do you find words to say thank you for allowing my lungs to enjoy the oxygen that you created so that this body can keep functioning? How do you tell it? Okay. Scripture. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with what? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. So guess what? You're never supposed to come before the Lord empty. The Bible literally says that. It says, none shall appear before the Lord empty. So if you don't bring anything else with you, what can you bring? Praise and thanksgiving. And here's the thing. Everybody in here has a goal in mind. It's a very similar goal. We all have a similar goal. Everybody in here wants to go to heaven. Okay, so let me tell y'all something. I'm gonna tell y'all something because it's my job. Part of my job to prepare you for heaven. To prepare you for heaven. So let me help y'all. I'm gonna help you all. The Bible records that there was silence in heaven for the space of a half hour. Other than that half hour, heaven is loud. Heaven is loud. So yeah. Yeah, you're gonna have your own corner. You're going to have your own corner. Say it, Jesus. Did y'all hear what Jesus just said? Scripture. I got to move. I got to go. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So God's will is for you to have a life of thanksgiving. God's will is for you to live a life of thanksgiving. God's will is for you to constantly, perpetually be telling him thank you. I remember when I was about 20 years old, I was on my way to work. We were still living in California. I was on my way to work, and as I came around the bend on the highway, the sun came over the hill just right, and it was glistening off of the trees, and everything looked so beautiful. And in that instant, I began to weep because it became very clear to me what David meant when he said, oh, Lord, the whole earth is full of your glory. Because I literally felt like I was looking right into the glory of God. See, God expects us to live this way. He expects us to see him in his creation. Are you hearing it? Next. Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. So what is the sacrifice of praise? The fruit of our lips. So guess what? You can't praise quiet. You got to say something. So when I was going to meet a friend of mine. He's still around. He's a bishop now. His name is David Horn. And I had an appointment to meet this guy, David Horn. He's a friend. I'd already known David several years. David, at that time, he was notorious for being late. I'm not talking about 5 or 10 minutes. No, David would be 30, 40 minutes late. Okay. But David had a secretary. So I showed up for my appointment. I showed up 10 minutes early. I showed up 10 minutes early knowing David's going to be late. And so I said to his secretary, I said, "Where's Horn?" She said, "He'll be here." I said, "That's not the point. Will he be here on time?" I said, "He'll be here." Wasn't a very friendly secretary. She kind of hood, thuggish. I said, "He'll be here." I said, "Okay, but does he know that he has an appointment?" "Yes, I said he'll be here." Well, of course, he was late. And so after the appointment, I went back out to the secretary, and I said, "I think we got off to the wrong foot. I'd like to make this up to you." I said, "Is there any way I could take you out for a cup of coffee or something just to let you see that I am a nice guy?" "No. You want nothing to do with me." If I hadn't been able to turn that around, she wouldn't be sitting here right now. I turned that whole thing around. Guess how I turned it around? With the fruit of my lips. I learned what to say. So I'm trying to tell y'all, God is interested in what you say. And far too often, our confession, our daily confession, is way too negative. We want to be negative 6 days a week, and then on the seventh day, we're going to heal the sick. That ain't how it works. I'm telling you, that's not how it works. You have to learn to have a confession that says who God is when things aren't going your way. Because guess what? He's still God, even when things aren't going your way. He's still good, even when things aren't going your way. And you have to be able to say, "He's good." Listen to me. Y'all, I've had people call me for prayer. I'm telling y'all, I've had people call me for prayer. And you want to talk about didn't feel like praying? They called me like right after I had just had a conniption. Right after I had had a fit of carnality. Right after I had just had a flesh parade. So y'all going to try to act like y'all don't have flesh parades? Okay, that day when you was in the store and you decided to let the woman know what you really think of her, that was your flesh parade. Next. Colossians 3, 15 through 17. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful," "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." So how many times does he say give thanks in there? Three or four? So it's pretty important for us to understand. Thank you. You can never tell God thank you enough. Thank you. Next, because I'm running out of time. Prayers of confession. Okay, here we go. This one was tough because most of the time when people think of confession, they think of sin. All right? You know, was anybody in here other than my wife raised Catholic? Okay, yeah. So y'all only think of confession when it comes to sin. Y'all only think of sin. Going to confessional, I'm going to tell all my business to this guy I really don't know and hope he keeps his vow. So we're talking about, though, we're going to talk about what it means to confess our sin, because that's important if you're going to operate in the supernatural. Because confessing your sin keeps your heart clean, keeps your heart pure, so that the supernatural power of God can work in your life. Okay? So, scripture. Proverbs 20:13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. So you can't just confess them. You got to do what? You got to confess them and forsake them. Well, I told on myself. Yeah, but you kept doing it. You know, you can't tell on yourself. There's a famous preacher going through it right now. He confessed to an adulterous affair, and so people forgave him. And then it came out that there was actually two adulterous affairs. I said, bro, once you had them on the hook, you should have just put it all out there. But you have to confess and forsake it. You have to confess and forsake it. And so a lot of times people go, well, I repented for that, but you kept doing it. It's not repentance if you keep doing it. It just means you said it, but you didn't stop it. You admitted it. Thank you. You just admitted it. Yeah, I lied. Yeah, I lied. But let me tell you something. This is the whole truth. I swear this is the truth. Next one. 1 John 1:8-9. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what does confession do? It puts us in a position where God can cleanse us. He can wash us. He can get all the unrighteousness out of us. What is righteousness? Doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. What is the unrighteousness? Not doing the right thing. All right? Next. 1 Timothy 6:12. I told you I had a lot of scripture, so I got to go fast. Hope I'm not talking too fast for you Southerners. You know, Southerners sometimes get upset with me because I start talking fast. He sounds like he's speaking in tongues. What are you doing? 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, what Timothy is talking about is that you made a good confession. You declared, Jesus is my Lord. Your good confession amongst many witnesses. I live for Jesus. I serve Jesus. And you made that good confession amongst many witnesses. So now that you made that good confession, guess what you got to do? You got to live up to it. You got to live up to it. I was talking to my wife earlier this week, and she was talking to me about, she always asks me these deep questions. She said, why can't, you know, the Christian community be more like the Jewish community? The Jewish community does this, 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 and this, and da, 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 da. And it was really some good stuff she was thinking about. And I said, well, there's one problem. She said, what's that? I said, in the American Christian community, everybody can say they're Christian. And we have gone away from the Bible to define what a Christian is. So therefore, there's no real way to identify if somebody's really a Christian. No, I'm just being honest. We got people. I've had people tell me that they're a Christian because they were born in America. I've had people tell me that. I looked in the Bible. I did. I searched the whole Bible to see where the Bible says you become a Christian by being American. It ain't in there. No, it's not there. So your confession is something you have to live out. You have to live it out. If Jesus is your Lord, you have to live like he is your Lord. All right, next. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So let us hold fast. We can't be wavering in our confession of our faith. We can't be wavering in, you know, I'm believing for my healing. I'm believing God's going to heal me. The Lord told me I was in prayer, and the Lord told me he's going to heal me of all my infirmities. How you feeling today? Well, you know, my gout done flared up, and, you know, my toes hurt and my back hurt. And I didn't like the person who was looking at me in the mirror this morning. Listen, your confession has to be, how you feel today? by God's grace, I feel great. You're talking to somebody who I had to confess this stuff in order to live. I was dying. The doctor told me, you're dying. So I had to go and say, I gotta live. So in order for me to live, I got to confess life. Are you hearing me? Let's go. Next. All right. Prayer of supplication. This is the last point. Prayers of supplication. And I'm not going to take long on it because I'm at my time now. So y'all give me 5 more minutes? Okay. So we told you supplication is asking God to do what only God can do. And by praying prayers of supplication, you put yourself in the position of knowing what it's like who wants something desperately from God. Because the people that you're going to be praying for, they're going to be desperate. I've had people stop me in restaurants. Can you pray for me? And I can look in their eyes and see the desperation. They don't want some little cursy cute prayer. That, no. When people are stopping you, they want solutions. And so you have to know how to identify with their suffering. You have to be able to look at where they are, and then they're trusting the God in you. I'm saying this, they're not trusting you because you're not trustworthy. They're trusting the God in you to give them hope to get out of their situation. When we were here before, one Sunday I'm up here teaching. There was a guy sitting right where Morgan is. Morgan, raise your hand so people don't. Okay, guy sitting right where Morgan is, and he cried the whole time I was teaching. He just boohoo. I mean, bailed boohoo. And so I got to the end of my message. I said, "Young man, I said, is there something that I can do for you?" And he got close to me so he can tell me what was going on. He was on his way to prison. He said, I just need to know that God will be with me. And so guess what we did? I told him, I said, I can guarantee you God's going to be with you in the prison. I can guarantee you. I said, because he doesn't mind going to prison with you. Led him in the believer's prayer. I said, he goes where you go now. Are you hearing me? But you have to be able to give people hope. And you have to be able to pray the kind of prayers that lets people feel like God is hearing them. And that God wants to answer them. Are you hearing me? Next. Give ear, O Lord, Psalm 86:6. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer and give heed to the voice of my supplication. Give ear and give heed to my pleadings. My pleadings. I am pleading with you. God, if you do not move in this situation, it will not change. I am powerless to do anything about this. But I understand that you are all powerful, and I trust in your all powerful grace. And so I'll sit here. And I've literally told God, I'm trying to help y'all. I've literally told God, I'm not moving until you move. I'll sit here and starve waiting on you to move. Because I was that desperate. Has anybody in here not been able to eat solid food for a year other than me? Y'all, you can't tell it now looking at me now. I can eat solid food now. Thank you. I got a witness that I can eat solid food now. But when you can't eat solid food for a year, trust me when I tell you, it changes the way you pray. It changes what you expect from prayer. It changes the way you listen in prayer. Because all of a sudden, your prayers ain't cute no more. You know, Christians got some real cute prayers. God is good. God is great. Now we thank you for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. Then you got the preachers who got some real cute prayers. And now, Lord, we want you to stop by here because we realize that if you would just stop by here, things things would change. You ever notice nothing changes when they do that stuff? Because there's nothing sincere about it. But it's when you have to get in that deep place where you have where it feels like your next breath depends on God answering. Then all of a sudden you stop praying out of here and you start praying from here and you start pleading with God. I just need you to get involved. And all of a sudden you have his attention. Next. Oh yeah, we talked about that. You know, all prayers should begin with gratitude. Every one of them. You know, because the person who can get the most out of me is the person who says thank you. Hey, I just want to tell you, man, you already thanked me for that. Yeah, I know, but I need something else now. Daniel 6, verse 11. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. So this is when Daniel, this is right before Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den. And they said, well, he didn't get thrown in a lion's den. He got thrown in a den of lions. That's totally different. Okay. But they found him after they had warned him, they found him making petitions and supplications. Here's my question for the 21st century church that will stay home from church because somebody told you you can't go to church and churches are super spreaders of a virus and they told you all this stuff. My question is, when they tell you you can't pray, are you still going to pray? That's my question. Let me move on. Somebody's going to get upset with me. Daniel 9:23. At the beginning of your supplications, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. So now this is Daniel. He was praying, and the angel shows up and says to him, when you first started making your supplications, I was already dispatched. Now this is the first time Daniel hears this. There's another time when Daniel hears this, and the angel tells him, he says, I 21 days ago you prayed and I started to come. He said, but the prince of Persia withstood me. So here's what I'm trying to get you to see, that sometimes in your supplication, God has already dispatched the answer. It just takes it a while to show up. Now, remember, in our principal text, Luke, Jesus said that he starts by talking, men ought to always pray. Then he ends by saying, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Right? Why does he say that? Because of the wait time. Because of the wait time. There's a wait time. I'm going to show you something. This will help you. When we first met, came to church. I didn't know you from nobody. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge about your grandbaby, right? And now I'm going to show you how this works, because I know that God does things several ways. He does things instantaneously, where I prayed for people in wheelchairs and just looked at them and said, here was the prayer, get up. That was my prayer. No. Y'all don't understand. See, because I know where God is, and I know what he wants to do. And so I just said, you know, I literally said to one lady, I said, would you like to stand up? She said, yes. I said, take my hand. She took my hand and stood up instantly. She left pushing her wheelchair. Okay? So, but I also know that God heals over time, that God does things over the progression of time, right? And so, I said to her, I said, you left home this morning. There's somebody at the house sick. I said, and God said, when you came here, he went there. I said, the healing's already started. Now, she'll tell you, I ask her almost every time I see her, What did the baby do new this week? Because that's how my expectation works. See, when God says something to me, I don't lay it aside and go, yes, ma'am. Did y'all hear that? The baby hasn't had a seizure in a month. Let me say this, because I don't want you all to get this wrong. The reason I hang out with y'all the way I do, the reason I go to restaurants and have dinner with you, the reason I let y'all come to my house and hang out with me, the reason I do that is so that you can see I'm an ordinary dude. There's nothing special about me. I'm telling you, I'm not one of these cats. You know, I've had preacher friends. I prayed 3 hours. I prayed 6 hours. I probably haven't prayed 6 hours all week. I'm just going to be honest with you. Okay? But what I've learned is I've learned how to have a perpetual prayer going in my heart. And so my wife can tell you, she'll be talking to me and she'll look over and I'm somewhere else. Because the Holy Spirit showed up and said, I need to talk to you. And I start talking to him. So here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Don't think these things happen because there's something special about me. These things happen because I just happen to be crazy enough to believe that God will do what his word says he'll do. I tell people all the time, I'm too stupid to mess this up. All I do is follow the instructions in the manual. I'm telling you, I got an instruction manual. The manual says do this. Do this sometime if you ever want. I'm telling you, do this. Go look at the different ways Jesus healed people. And then look at the ways his disciples healed people. Watch. I'm telling you, it'll release faith in you for healing. And all of a sudden, you'll find people be like, why did he do that way? I'm just doing what the scripture says. Am I done? 1 Timothy 2:1, First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. So he's saying, hey, pray for people. Got one more? Okay. Told y'all I had a lot of scripture. Told y'all. Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition. One translation says supplication. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit and with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So now, first he told Timothy, pray for all men. Now he's being more specific. He says, pray for the saints. I can't make this any simpler, guys. I really can't. This is really, operating in supernatural power is simple because you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is let the one who does the heavy lifting do the heavy lifting. It really is that simple. So here's my guarantee. This is my guarantee. I tell everybody this. Everybody I pray for gets healed. You hear what I said? Everybody I pray for gets healed. Some get healed here. Some get healed in heaven. But everybody gets healed. Have I prayed for people? I prayed for a man. His wife said, I really need you to pray for my husband. He's dealing with cancer. And da 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 da. And I said, it's okay. I'm full of faith. Okay, no problem. And when I laid hands on him, I knew he was going to die. I knew it. I told my wife when we got to the car, I said, God's not going to heal him. He's going to die. She said, really? I said, yeah. Now, that day, I prayed for 4 other people and they got healed instantly. Got to him and knew it ain't happening. What was the difference? Anybody tell me the difference? How did these other people get instantaneous healing and get to him? So we know that there was healing in the room. We know that God was in a healing mood, right? So how did I get to him and nothing happened? The sovereignty of God. If you got a problem with it, make sure you get to heaven so you can ask him about it. I'm serious. Hey, listen, that's my time. We started late, so I had to get through this. So please forgive me. If you would, please bow your heads right where you are. We're going to pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for giving us your word to prove us, to correct us, but mostly to give us the ability to hear your voice. We know that we hear you through your word, and for that we're grateful. I pray for each and every person here, God, that they would walk out what they've heard and that they would become great disciples in that they have the ability to demonstrate your power to a lost and dying world. I pray, God, that they would get the courage to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I pray that they would get the courage to listen to your voice and your promptings when you're leading them. I give you praise for it now in the matchless name of Jesus. Now, if you're here,